is good enough for me. It was good for the prophet Daniel. It was good for the prophet Daniel. It was good for the prophet Daniel. It is good enough for me. 'Tis that old-time religion. 'Tis the old-time religion. 'Tis the old-time religion. It is good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. Is
that old time religion? And it's good enough for me. Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How's everyone doing today? I guess we're dead today. Amen. How's everybody today? Amen. Yeah. Top of the morning to you. All right. Harvey's waiting. If you think a person who attends the evening service is called a Latter-day Saint, you might need to go to church for All right. It's got to get better from there, right? Yeah. Okay, maybe. All right. Well, I got a few announcements to make, and I've changed up the service a little bit, so we'll be taking the offering right after the announcements. Just we're not doing it at the end. We're going to do it earlier now. Just a little change, and so bear with us as we develop through this change. Change is never easy, even if it's something simple, it seems like. But anyway, a few announcements. We got March for Life will be happening in May, and I'll be talking about that more when we get past Easter. But we got a March for Life for the Rose of Sharon. It's a fundraiser. And if you think about walking in that to raise money for the center, let me know. I've got some forms you can fill out. And then I've got also, if you just want to support someone that is walking, you can do that too. So I'll be getting more into that once we get past Easter. We got a baby shower coming also in May. And there is information about that on the bulletin board. And it will be here. It's a Saturday, the 21st of May, from 11:30 to 2. Lunch will be provided, and it's for everybody, men and women. Everyone can come. And are you going to make your husband come?
I'm trying.
You're going to try and make him come, huh? And Dave, yeah, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Yeah, come for the food, gentlemen. I mean, really. You know, there's going to be a meal.
Yeah, a meal.
The meal, yeah. Forget the cake. The meal. That's all you're thinking about. So anyway, please put that on your calendar for that. Membership class, if you're interested in becoming a member, please sign up over there. I'll get with those that sign up on the date and time, but if you're not a member and you'd like to be, please sign up over there. And then lastly, Sacred Assembly. It's next Sunday at 5:30 in Barstow. And the week, they've asked for anyone that, you know, if the Lord's leading you to fast this week in an area, to do so this week. I'm starting today. And I'm going to carry it out through next Sunday. But whoever wants to go to that, let me know. I've got a sign-up sheet up there. I think Nappy and Brenda are planning on being there. And just go where your wife says, and you'll be fine. And uh, So anyway, they're planning on going, and I will be there, and hopefully my wife will be able to come as well. And it's just about preparing for prayer as we go before the Lord on behalf of a lot of things, but a lot of it has to do with our nation and the world and all that's going on in that regard. And so so that will be next Sunday at 5:30. So be in prayer for that. Be in prayer this week. I've been talking a lot about prayer the last few weeks. Going to talk about it a little bit more today. But anyway, now at this time, we're going to take our offering. I guess I'm supposed to click that to announce this.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day, Father. We thank you for this building that you've supplied for us, Father. We're going to take an offering to keep this building open so we can come and hear the word. And we thank you for our pastor who preaches this word from the Bible, Father. Bless those who give today. Bless those who cannot. We thank you and we love you. Amen.
Amen. Scripture reading for today is out of Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you, and indeed the Lamb is worthy, worthy of everything we can give, everything we can do, Lord. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we praise you, Lord, for how you are working in our lives and in our church. Lord God, I pray that you would bless this time of worship, this time of fellowship, this time of preaching and teaching, Lord. May you be lifted up. May Jesus be magnified. May the Spirit have freedom to move. And we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Good morning. Please join and sing with us.
What a wonderful change in my life has been brought since Jesus came into my heart. Wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart.
In the dark and all alone, growing comfortable, are you too scared to move and walk out of this tomb? Buried underneath the lies that you believe, safe and sound, stuck in the ground, too lost to be found. You're just asleep, and it's time to leave. Come on and rise up, take a breath, you're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? You're brand new, the power of death couldn't hold you. Can't you hear the
of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus.
Rise us.
Rise up. Rise up. Out from the grave like Lazarus.
When he said your name, the thing that filled your veins was more than blood. It's the kind of love that washes sin away. Now the door is open wide, and the stone's been rolled aside. The old is gone, the light has come.
So rise up, take a breath, you're alive now. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus? You're brand new, the power of death couldn't hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus?
Rise up,
rise up, rise up, out from the grave like Lazarus. He's giving us new resurrected hearts. He's calling us to walk out of the dark. He's giving us new resurrected hearts.
Come on and rise up,
take a breath, you're alive. From the grave like Lazarus, you're brand new. The power of death couldn't hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us out from the grave like Lazarus?
Rise
us. Rise up. Rise up. Out from the grave like Lazarus.
Rise up.
Rise up, rise up, out from the grave like Lazarus.
Okay, this is song number 4. So would you please stand up and greet somebody and tell them you're happy to see them.
Happy to see you.
Good morning, Dave. Happy to see you.
Never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen,
I hear you whisper underneath
won't feel the heat. You walk me through fires, pull me from flames. If you're in this with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher, oh, and higher, and it feels like I can barely breathe, I'll walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. I can face anything, 'cause you're here. Price of my redemption, Lord, how could I question when you prove that you died for me? You walk me through fires, hold me from flames. If you're in this with me, I won't be afraid. When the smoke billows higher, oh, and higher, and it feels like I can barely breathe, I'll walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me. I'll walk through these fires, 'cause you're walking with me.
As we approach Easter, there we go. As we approach Easter, naturally our attention turns to Jesus Christ. You know, that song, Fires, that was one of the songs Jordan St. Cyr sang at the prayer conference I was at. He was giving his testimony about his daughter and how hard it was when she was born with, I guess, some sort of a brain situation. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but it was serious, and they're still dealing with it. And you know, when you live in this life, there's fires, isn't there? There's things we go through that we'd rather not. And in the midst of it all, we remember this time of year, especially, Jesus Christ, and he went through something he would have rather not gone through. The crucifixion. And not only the physical part of that, but the emotional pain of being betrayed and the spiritual pain of taking your sin and my sin upon himself to pay the price for our sin. And so it's this time of year, of course, it's the most important day that we celebrate. The resurrection. You know, without the resurrection, this is all kind of meaningless. But with the resurrection, it gives us life, gives us hope, gives us confidence, and it gives us the ability to go through the hard times. Today we're going to focus on Christ in an area of his worthiness. This area of Christ is worthy. That's why I read in Revelation, I'm not preaching out of Revelation, I'm preaching out of Psalm 18. But in Revelation there, you know, we're in the throne room of heaven. God is getting ready to pass judgment on the earth. And the scroll is rolled up and it's sealed. And They're saying basically, who's worthy to open this seal? You know, who's worthy to judge? You know, am I worthy to judge you? No. I have flaws enough in my own life. There is only one who is worthy. Excuse me. There's only one who is worthy. And that's Jesus Christ. He was the only one that was worthy to open the scroll. He's the only one. And in this, these three verses in chapter 18 of Psalms, Psalm 18, we have David, who was just delivered from the hand of Saul, and he writes this. And this talks about how God took care of him in every way. In every way. And God wants to do that in our lives. And he will do it if we simply submit to his will and his way, serve him, you know, as he asks, obey him. And it's just a powerful three verses. And we're going to look at these. And, you know, we need to look at it through the lens of we are a troubled people. We have things going on. You know, we got, you know, the country, the political scene, the world scene, those kind of things. But then even in our personal lives, you know, you can have children that are, you know, rejecting their faith perhaps, or health issues, or job issues, or money issues. I mean, there's a lot of things that we face in this life. And when you've lived so many years, you can look back and see all these things that have gone on. And even before I even knew God, I can look back, you know, when I was just as lost could be, I can look back and see where God was. He was preserving me from myself in a lot of ways. And so we're going to look at this and we're going to see, you know, we know the story of David, hopefully, or at least a lot of his story and all the things he went through. And God never left him, never forsook him. God was there. And, you know, we've been focusing on prayer. And the first part of the prayer was, you know, praising God and looking at his attributes. And that's what we're going to see here in this passage, is David focusing on attributes, and then we come to a response to that. And so let's just look at it. Verse 1, well, I'm going to read all three verses, and then we'll go back to verse 1. It says, David says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And so here we have David, you know, writing these things. He's just come out of a thing with Saul, and the Lord delivered him. And he makes a choice here. And he says, I will love the Lord. I will love the Lord. And that is a choice we make. Okay? It's not something, yes, you know, when God has done things, we have this love for him, but it's still a choice we make. And that word love there, it's not the agape love that we're so used to hearing about. This is a love that is, it's about cherishing. Do you cherish the Lord? You know, we can usually use that word cherish with something like some object, maybe, a gift maybe that someone special in our life gave us. Maybe our kids when they were a small child made you something and wrote something on it or whatever. And you have that and you cherish it. It is of great value to you. Not because in of itself it is worth much, but it's about what that person did. It's the person who gave it to you. And when we think about all what the Lord has given to us and done on our behalf, do we cherish him? Do we look at him as, you are one of great value in my life? Or is he just sort of there when we, you know, I've got that habit, you know, when things are going good, I'm just going along and everything. And then when things get bad, oh, okay, God, you know, whatever. You know, we have that flesh in us that does this. And we have to remind ourselves that we need him all the time, even when we kind of think we don't, or when we act like we don't. When things are going good, we still need him. And we should love him. We should cherish him. The Lord is worthy of our love. He is worthy of it. He's never done anything to push us away from himself. He's always been pursuing us. You know, we did not seek him. He sought us. The Bible tells us. And part of that love is obeying him, submitting to him. And we see that in the scripture. It says, Jesus said in John chapter 14, he says, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. You know, if we really cherish God, if we love him, we'll do what he asks. We'll submit to him. We'll submit to his will. We'll be seeking his will in our life. And we will love him. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our love. And so just remember, the whole theme of this thing is, you know, Jesus is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. And then we see in verse 2, I will trust the Lord. I will trust the Lord. And then he gives all these reasons why he can trust God. He says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. And, you know, then we have verse 3, but then after that, all these other verses, all the way to verse 50 in this thing, he's talking about all the things that God was in his life, how God helped him in his life, how God, when he was going through something, God delivered him or whatever. So we're going to look at this briefly in each one of these, but he starts off saying, my rock. He says, David is saying, I am declaring my sustained reliance on the Lord by declaring that he is my rock. He is my rock. And David's declaring this. And when you think about a rock, you know, it's stable, it's secure, it doesn't change, it's immovable. Aren't you glad the Lord stays the same every day? I mean, you don't have to worry about what's right. You know, you ever have a job where, you know, the rules change all the time? You know, I had one of those. You know, you get used to doing something, you think you're doing right, now they change the rules. You know, and now it's something else. They want something else from you or whatever. You know, the Lord, it never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's solid. You know, in your marriages, you know, sometimes your spouse, you know, sorry, Dick Moore, I know you're probably watching, but your spouse, Dick Moore doesn't like that word. He likes my wife. That's my wife. But anyway, you ever get up one day and your partner is like not nice, and you say, "What? They got it, man? What'd you do? Get up on the wrong side of the bed today?" You know, we say that, right? Aren't you glad God never gets up on the wrong side of the bed? You know, you don't have to worry about what's going to be right or wrong. You know, what's right or wrong 2,000 years ago when this book was written? Still right or wrong now? Doesn't change. Oh, we try to make it change, you know, in our flesh and people, you know, the relative truth and all. Oh, that's true for you. It's not. No, look, there's truth and there's everything else. There's right and there's wrong. And how do we know that? Out of the Word of God. I was thinking about rocks, you know, how secure they are. And my wife and I, we go to Ventura every so often. Get away, we go camp out there or whatever. And we'll go to Ventura Beach. And at the harbor there, they got these huge rocks right there, you know, making the breakwater so that the boats can get into the harbor. And they're huge. And you can walk out on them. And sometimes the waves are really pounding. You know what? It doesn't even shake them. You can just stand right there and bam, bam, they're hitting. And they don't move. They don't sink. They don't go anywhere. they won't even shake you up. Now the wave might knock you off, but it's not because the rock, you know, the rock is solid. And you know, that's our Lord. That's our Lord. He's unshakable. He's unshakable. And we can rely on Him to always be the rock. You know, the Bible says, I reached into the miry clay and took you out and set your feet on a rock. And I've been in mud and stuff, and it does feel good. When you come out of the mud and you get on solid ground, it feels good to be on there because now you got footing. Now you got a place to stand. The Lord is my rock. And we can praise Him for that. The Lord is my fortress. My fortress. Oh, I was going to say in this, the Lord is my rock. When you look at verse 31, at the end of it, it says, who is a rock except our God? You know, so David brings out all these attributes in this psalm. It's like he takes verse 2 and then he expounds on it, the last 47 verses. But in 31, who is a rock except our God? You know, if you got your feet on anything else, you're on shaky ground. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my fortress, a stronghold that provides protection and safety. And you might, I didn't tell you this, but you may want to look because I don't have the verses up here, but you know, verses 16 and 17 in Psalm 18, if you happen to have your Bible, but I'll read it. In 16 it says, He sent from above, He took me, He drew me out of many waters, He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. A fortress is a stronghold. You know, when things are too strong, when things are beginning to be overwhelming, you run into the fortress. You run into the stronghold where you will be safe. A stronghold that provides protection and safety. Is God your stronghold? Or do we kind of run into the stronghold of our ideas of how this thing should work? You know, I've done that. I've got my ideas. And then I run there. And then it doesn't hold up. But God's ways always hold up. God's ways are sure. They protect us. You know, I've had people say, you know, well, you know, your Christian religion has a lot of rules and stuff like that. You know, takes away my fun or whatever. You know, you go and do things your way and then see how much fun you're having. Because sin is fun for a season and then comes, you got to pay. Then comes the price of your sin. And now you're not having fun. Now it's not good. Now you're wondering, you know, now you're going to God saying, why did I do that? Because you didn't run into the fortress. This Bible is here to protect you from yourself. You know, I tell these young couples, I go, don't play with fire, you know, you're going to be burned. Now, why are you going out and doing things that's reserved for marriage? It's going to cost you. God has a reason for that. And it goes on far beyond just getting married. I mean, because kids come on the scene. And what's God's perfect plan? Husband and a wife in a family. Not single parents. That wasn't His plan. This word, God working in His Word through you, is a fortress. It protects you from yourself. It protects you from the enemy. If you'll just listen and submit. He is my deliverer. My deliverer. One who rescues or liberates. Could be from physical enemies. Could be from affliction. Could be from temptation. I was talking with someone about temptation before the service. You look at verse 43, it says, you have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the heathen. A people I have not known shall serve me. I mean, you know, He delivers us. He's a deliverer. He's delivered me from a few things in my life. Has He done something for you in that way? Sometimes He delivers me from my own pride. In my pride, I start to do something and starts to go sideways, and then you wake up, and sometimes God uses someone to wake you up, and sometimes you go through your pride period, and then you hit the wall, and you fall down, and you go, forgive me, you know, and then you kind of get forgiven and restored, and now you don't have pride in that area anymore, but you're still delivered from it. Or from temptation, you know, the Bible tells us that there's no temptation except that which is common to man, that God will not provide a way for you to escape it. In other words, anything that we are tempted with, there is a way out. Anything that Satan may use to tempt you, anything that you may be tempted because, you know what, we all got that sin nature that kind of leans toward the world, kind of leans toward our flesh, and we may be tempted, God always provides a way out. If you fell to the temptation, it's because you chose. You know, the Bible says we are set free from our sin. The chains are broken. We are free. But we still have free will. We still choose. The Bible just says before you were saved, you were a slave to sin. You couldn't help but do it. But now we can. Now we can choose. And when we see temptation, we do not have to fall to it. We can actually say, you know what? I'm not going down that road. I'm going to go down this road. There is a way out. He delivers us from it. Then I like this next one. The Lord. Because you got to remember, he starts the verse off with, the Lord is. And it's interesting, he says, my God. The Lord is my God. Well, what is that? Well, actually, it's pretty important. Because you see, the Lord, when he says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, that word Lord is different than the word for God. It's a different word. And the word for Lord is Yahweh. The self-existent God. The one true God. The other word translated God is El in the Hebrew. And El means God, but it can be God with a little g or God with a big G. Because you know what? There's lots of gods. Things that we make our God. Now we may not say that we bow down and worship them or whatever, but you know what? Our life indicates that we do serve them. You know, some people, their work is their God. That's what they live for. That's what they do. You know, they work. They're a workaholic. They're seeking to get ahead. They're trying to get that advancement or that promotion or whatever, and that's their God. Some people, it's money. It can be sports. It can be another person. It can be a lot of things. But David makes a declaration, the Lord is my God. And you know what? We need to make that same declaration. You know, who are we serving? You know, a lot of times we're our own God. I mean, let's just be honest. Sometimes we just serve ourselves. We just serve our own desires. But the Lord, David says, the Lord is my God. The one true God. And it's interesting, that word El, in the Canaanite religion, El was the father of Baal. You probably heard of Baal. Okay? El was the father of Baal. And it can be, that was in their religion. So El can mean the one true God, or it can mean a God. And David declares, no, the Lord is my God. It's very important. He's choosing the one true God, as Joshua did. Right? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, what? Choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? The gods of your fathers or the gods of this people in this region? But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He used the word Lord. The one true God, the self-existent God, the creator God. That's who he's going to serve. Who are we serving? You know, it's something we need to ask ourselves. When we serve, who are we serving? Verse 31, again, The first part, he says, for who is God save the Lord? For who is God? Oh, only, in other words, what he's saying is, who is God? The Lord. Yahweh. The self-existent one. Then he says, my strength. The Lord is my strength. Because you remember the heading of this is, I will trust the Lord. Because that's what he says next. He says all these things, and he says, in whom I will trust, and then he goes on, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, so on. So he's trusting in God. He's trusting in the one true God. How many times, though, do we trust in our own strength? Well, I can handle that. You know, that's how most people get addicted. Well, you know, other people, I know that happened to other people, but I can handle it. And then they find out they can't. I recognize, Lord, that it is your strength that enables me to obey and serve you. The only way I can serve God is through his strength. I mean, we can do things in our power for a time, but you will run out of power. And we see it a lot in people in ministries and pastors, unfortunately. They've been doing it in their own strength, and they fall by the wayside. They quit. They give it up. You know, Paul stressed how important it was to finish. Whatever road, whatever path you're on, however, in whatever way God has called you to serve him, and it's unique with every individual, you know, that service to God, make up your mind you're going to do it in his strength, and make up your mind that you're going to finish. You know, Paul said, I fought the fight. I finished my course. And now I'm ready. He knew he was going to be executed. And he's like, I'm done. I did it. I persevered to the end. Let's be a people that persevere. And the only way you're going to persevere is tapping into his strength. Because you know what? Our strength is finite. His strength is infinite. We have limits. He don't. And I know we all know that mentally. But sometimes in our service, we kind of forget that. And it's really easy to start operating in our own strength. He is my strength. Verse 39, he says, for you have girded me with strength unto the battle. You understand that life's a battle? There's a lot of pull trying to pull us away from God. The world, the flesh, and the devil, right? We got the systems of the world say, come on, it feels good, do it. Come on, everybody else is doing it. Come on. You know, it's fun. Look, it's not hurting anybody. And then you got your own flesh, which loves to do stuff like that. It's naturally drawn to the world. And then if that wasn't enough, you got Satan trying to destroy your testimony and eventually everything about you. And if he can, take your life. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, your soul, along with it. Life's a battle. It's a battle. And we need strength to fight in the battle. I know one time I was losing some weight. This was many years ago. And I was in the middle of that. And I went and played racquetball with somebody. And I lasted about half a game because I hadn't eaten. I had no strength. I had no reserve. And I was pretty easy pickings that day for my opponent. And so while I was playing this guy every week, and so while I was doing that, I decided, you know what, I'm going to eat something before I go. Because I know I'm going to burn it off anyway. And I would eat something. And you know what, I'd go and I didn't get weak. Do you, bring in God on a daily basis for your strength? We need to do that. We can't go out there into the battle empty. He is our strength. If we try to face the world, the devil, and even our own flesh and our own strength, you're not going to make it. We're not a match for that. But with God, when you're tapped into the living God, He gives us strength. You have girded me with strength unto the battle. Because you know what? Life is a battle. It truly is. And if we're operating in His strength, we will survive the battle. We'll make it. The war's already won. You understand that, right? The war's already won. Jesus defeated Satan on the cross. That's done. But we still have to fight a battle until He culminates everything in His own way, in His own time. We still have the battles to fight. And I think Satan kind of realizes that his time is getting short. Because, boy, is he really stepping up the program lately, huh? He's stepping up the program. I mean, that's what this is, but I really believe it. Honestly, do you really believe all this can keep going like this? Something's got to happen, right? And Satan is stepping up the battle, and so we better be tapped into the Lord so that we're not a casualty in that battle. One thing about this, all this stuff that's gone on with the church, all these restrictions and everything, it's starting to separate. There's a separation taking place. There's those that are committed, and the ones that are kind of on the fence, or they were never really, they're being sifted. I think it's in 2 Timothy, it says, the Lord knows those that are His. I hope every one of us is His, and that we will persevere and go forward. His strength. Okay, He's my buckler. He's my buckler. What's a buckler, right? It's a shield. Okay, it's a shield. It's a handheld shield. The Romans had these huge ones. That was not a buckler, okay? They had these huge ones. This is one that's shield that you can hold. And my buckler, a shield to protect from enemies, both physically and spiritual. Both physical and spiritual. You know, we have physical enemies. We have things that try to rob us of our time. And we may even have people that don't like us for whatever reason. Or maybe they even work against us in one way or another. But then we have the spiritual foe. Believe me, if you're naming the name of Christ, you have a spiritual foe that He wants to bring you down. Just the fact that you're saved, okay, that's fine. He acknowledges that, but you know what? He still wants to destroy you. He still wants to destroy your marriage, your children, your family, everything about you, and eventually your life. But He's a shield. Verse 30 says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. He is a shield for everyone that trusts Him. So what we're saying here, let's make it practical. You trust this word? Do you trust this word? Because I don't know about you, but there's a few things in here I kind of wish they weren't in there. Because they're not convenient, you know? And I have to admit, sometimes I think I know better just in my pride. I'll say, well, you know, that I can think of so-and-so really needs that, but, you know, I don't really need that. I can handle that. But God says, trust me. And you know what? It's really easy to trust Him in the things that we're comfortable with, you know? But when we get out into the unknown, when we get out into the deep water, it gets a little harder to trust Him. Because sometimes when He asks you to trust Him, it's like you don't see any way that can work. An example I love to use is just in tithing. I mean, there's been times in my life where my wife and I, we figured out our budget, and it was like, we can't afford to give money. But God says, trust me. He says it in Malachi. He says, trust me. Give and see if I don't open a window of blessing that you can't even contain at all. And so there were times when it was tough. And we made the choice, and it is a choice, and we trusted, just using that as a simple example. And you know what? God came through. And I have to admit, it's kind of like sometimes we feel it's the last second, but it's really on time. We just want it all done in advance. But if it's all done in advance, then where's faith come in? Right? Because God's what? You know, money, you know, is nothing to Him. He created it. But faith, when in faith you go forward anyway, because you believe that God will take care of you. And when you have faith in a small thing, the Bible says, then you'll have faith in a bigger thing. And that's what God does. He just builds our faith up just a little bit at a time. Trust Him in this. You know, I trusted Him with my money. Now I can trust Him with my marriage. Something bigger. Something worth way more. I can trust Him with my kids. I can trust Him with my future. You know, 9 years ago when I quit my job, or when I said I was going to quit my job, because I still worked about 3 months more, I had a lot of people asking, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. How are you going to live? I don't know. That was my answer, because, you know, honestly, I didn't know. And I'd like to say I was a bastion of faith, but, I mean, I had this much. Bible says you only got to have this much, right? I believed, I just wasn't sure, you know? I don't know if that makes sense. But I believed enough to set my date as being the last date. You know, February 22nd, 2013, that's my last day. And I had nothing to go on except I believed God told me to quit. And I trusted Him. I remember my wife, when I told her, it was a few months before that, she, you know, we prayed about it, and I said, well, you think about it, you know, for a couple weeks here. And eventually she came to me and she goes, well, if you really believe God's telling you to do this, I'm with you. That was faith on her part. And so February 22nd, I went home and I was unemployed. And on February 24th, I got a call saying this church voted to make me pastor. I thought that was late. You know, I'd like to have known in January or something, you know. But it was all right on time. And yes, I had come here and in January and met with people and talked and everything, but I had no clue if I was going to be pastor. I didn't know. Worked out. At least it did for me. I don't know about you, but worked out good for me. But anyway, He's our shield. And we can, you know what? We have the what ifs in our brain, don't we? You know, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if, you know? And you can always look around and see all these what ifs that happen to other people. But is God your shield? He is, I love this one, He is the horn of my salvation. I'll read verse 30. I don't know if I did. He's my buckler. He's my shield. Verse 30, as for God, His way is perfect. Remember that, by the way, when you're facing something crazy. His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, meaning it has been tested and it stands up. It stands up to the test. Then it says, He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. You know, God's ways are perfect and His word is tested. It holds up. You can trust Him. He is a shield. You can trust Him. The horn of my salvation. David proclaims that the Lord is his Savior who triumphs over every foe. Look at verse 35. You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand holds me up. And I love this. Your gentleness has made me great. God is a gentle God. Now, sometimes we do need the 2x4 upside the head, you know. I've needed that a few times. But I praise the Lord that most of the time I can look back and see where He was trying to nudge me along. But in my stubbornness or in my blindness or whatever, He finally just had to wake me up with a board upside the head. Got an amen from John back there, huh? Fellow hard-headed person. So, but He is the horn of my salvation. You know, what's a horn do? You know, when somebody good, big time's coming in, you know, especially in Bible days, you know, the prefect or whoever, you know, the horn blows, right? You know, they're announcing, right? Is Jesus Christ the horn of your salvation? Do you proclaim your salvation through Jesus Christ? Because that's what it is. He is the horn of our salvation. That's why we lift up Christ. That's why we proclaim Him. That's why we share Him. That's why the gospel is so important. He is the horn of my salvation. And of course, Jesus Christ wasn't on the scene yet the way we know Him at the time of David, but David knew. David knew that the Savior was going to come through his seed, and he was already worshiping Him. People in the Old Testament just looked ahead to Jesus. Okay, we look back to Jesus. People in the Old Testament, they looked ahead to Jesus. You still got to trust in Jesus. They just didn't know His name. They knew Him as Messiah. Okay? It's the horn of my salvation. Verse 35 says, You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand holds me up. You know, a strong right hand. I'm left-handed. You know, I take offense to that. You know, that's because my left hand's my strong hand. You know, but we know what that's talking about. That's God's mighty right hand. And He holds us up. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever's weighing you down, Jesus said, you know what? My yoke is light. He holds it up. Whatever that burden is you're carrying, would you just set it down? God will hold it up for you. You don't carry it. And then you just proclaim Him. What have you been saved out of? Pride, bitterness? Maybe something physical? He saves us in a lot of ways, but ultimately it's the soul that matters. It's your spirit. It's the horn of our salvation. And then lastly, He's my high tower. A high tower, you know, you could have like a low tower, you know, and you climb in there and then the enemy just comes over the wall and gets you, right? No, this is a high tower. And I found that the older I get, the less high the tower has to be to keep me out, you know? You ever notice that? Like, fence in my backyard, you know, some young kid can just go right over that thing. I could go through it easier than I could go over it. So, you know, it's just, but no matter how strong somebody is, because you can build some pretty high things. I mean, you ever watch that show Cops, you know? There's some pretty tall fences. Those guys running from cops, they can go right over those things, man. Because they're young and strong and agile. But you know what? No matter how young and strong and agile or however powerful your enemy is, they can't get over the tower where God is. When you go into God's high tower, no one can get in there that God doesn't allow. He's our safety. No one can reach it. Look at verse 48. He says, He delivered me from my enemies. Yea, you lift me up above those that rise against me. You lift me up above those that rise against me. You're my high tower. A place of refuge out of the reach of any that would come and harm me. Yeah. Is our God not worthy? He is worthy. He is all these things to us and more. This is just what David listed in one verse. One verse. And then he says in verse 3, not only will I love the Lord, you know, and I like the way he says this, I will love the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. In verse 3, I will call upon the Lord. I will call upon the Lord. He says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Who's worthy to be praised? God and God alone. Jesus Christ. He's worthy. When we call on the Lord, what is that? Is that not prayer? When you pray, are you not calling upon the Lord? And He's worthy to be praised. So when we call on the Lord, it can be in the form of what we call prayer, where we're asking for something, but it's also should be about what? Praising Him, submitting to Him, asking Him where to go, what to do, how He's going to use me. That's all coming to the Lord. And you know what? That glorifies Him. When His children bow down their wills to Him, that glorifies God. I want you to look at verse 46. Now I'm really stepping out on faith here. Hope my wife will help me. I think she'll remember this. Yes, dear, I'm going to lead a little song here. But if you look at verse 46, it kind of sums up the whole thing. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. You remember that song, Deb? Myrna, you know that song? Help me out. Help me out. I want everyone to sing it. I want everyone to sing. We're going to praise out to God. We're praising out to God. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth. Come on. Blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I hope I wasn't too bad out of key there. But you guys were weak, though. You guys were weak. You didn't even sing that like you meant it. Wow. Going to have to work with you guys. I can see that. Okay. But, I mean, that's it. You know, he really wraps this whole thing up in verse 46. The Lord lives. He's alive. He's at work. And blessed be my rock. He's my rock. And you know what? He's the God of my salvation. I'm going to lift Him up. I'm going to exalt Him. He is worthy of praise. He is worthy of anything I could do or say. And you know what? Whether you think so or not, He was glorified by my singing. Come on. Amen. Amen. There we go. All right. There we go. Something to think about, though, isn't it? Worthy is the Lamb. Look at... Oh, I was supposed to put that up there to help you. I forgot I put that on there. There it is. You might have... Okay, we're going to do it again. Somebody said do it again. All right. No excuses. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. That was way better. Yay! Give yourselves a hand. Amen. Amen. All right. Whew. I put that on there on purpose because I knew you didn't know the verse. And then I forgot. You know, that's my pea brain. So there we go. Leaks. My brain leaks. So, dummy, turn the slide, you know, whatever. All right. There we go. That's what I thought I was going to see when I clicked it. Look, there are many motives for prayer to the Lord. What are your reasons? Why do you pray? There's many reasons. And we've touched on some of them. You know, we should pray to Him because He's our rock, our fortress, deliverer, all those things. And then there's other reasons that weren't listed there. Sometimes we're in a really deep spot, huh? Sometimes we're really struggling, maybe spiritually or emotionally or even physically. And there's reasons why we pray. Many motives, and we've touched on some of them. But as adversity and circumstance comes and goes, so do our motivations change, don't they? I mean, you know, we pray according to our needs and wants and desires and things like that. And of course, we should always be lifting God up and praising Him in our prayers. But our prayers change. Reasons change. Motivations change. But the only truly enduring motive for prayer is simply that the Lord is worthy to be sought. He's worthy of us to seek Him out, to seek His face. You know, I talked a little bit about it, I don't know, last week or the week before. So many times we're seeking His hand rather than His face. We're seeking Him for what He will do, rather than for just being with Him. And the number one reason, the only truly enduring motive, is simply that He is worthy to be sought after. He is worthy. And we should seek Him out just because He's worthy, regardless of what is or what is not going on in our lives. He's worthy. And in seeking Him, we find that He's also worthy to be served. You know, whatever it might be that we do in His name, whether it's something in this church or just serving Him out there in the world, if we're on the job, you know, and you witness to somebody on the job, you just serve God. You know, it doesn't have to be in the context of teaching a Bible class or whatever. I mean, and that can be in that context, but there's way more than that. We're not limited to that. And we seek Him, and He's worthy to be served. And you know what? He's worthy of our sacrifice. Because you know what? Being a child of God comes with sacrifice. He's worthy of your sacrifice. And we're going to take some time. Remember last week when we spoke up? I'm trusting you're going to speak up again. But in terms of our service and sacrifice, we're going to tell the Lord that He is worthy. What have you sacrificed that the Lord is worthy of? And this is a prayer. This is not talking to me. This is talking to the Lord. We are in prayer. Lord, You are worthy of the time that I'm away from my family in Your service. Lord, You are worthy of the energy that I spend in serving You. You are worthy of it. Say something if you want. Pray to the Lord. Lord, You are worthy of.
Lord, You are worthy of all the praise for everything You've done and blessed us, Father. Thank You.
Anyone else?
Lord, You're worthy of any sacrifice that we have.
Amen.
Lord, You're worthy of all of our praise and all of our worship.
Lord, You're worth it, everything I do for You in the church. Lord, You are worthy of a second chance.
Heavenly Father, Lord, You are indeed worthy of whatever we give up in order to serve You. You have done everything on our behalf. There is nothing we can do to pay You back. But Lord God, we love You. We praise You. We thank You. For You are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is worthy. He is worthy. Whatever it has cost you monetarily or emotionally or physically in any way to serve Him, He is worthy of it. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. Apart from Him, we can't even serve Him. And apart from Him, we are doomed. There may be someone here today that maybe you're not a Christian. I don't know who that might be. Could be anybody. Might be nobody here, but there's people watching. And if somebody here has not accepted Christ their Lord and Savior, I know one person in my past that I would witness to him and he'd go, you know, I'd do it, but I'd have to quit drinking beer. And I'd tell him, no, you don't. God will take you right, just like you are. I believe if you truly got saved, you'll quit drinking beer, but you don't have to quit. You know, to be born again. But there are people that they think they have to sacrifice something to be a Christian. No. Jesus sacrificed everything so that you could be a Christian. He sacrificed everything. You sacrifice nothing. You just accept Him on His terms. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's all God doing that. All you do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God did those things on your behalf through Jesus Christ. But there's people that think they have to sacrifice. You know, oh, if I do that, I have to sacrifice. You know what? I became a Christian, and I'm glad to sacrifice. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I've given up some things. And when I look at what he gave up for me, I didn't give up anything. I'm better off for it. He must increase, I must decrease. For the rest of us, our biggest problem is, once we're saved, is we tend to be selfish. We're jealous of our time. We're jealous of our talent. We're jealous of our treasure. And God has to work in us to make us generous. Just like our kids, right? Nobody teaches their child to be selfish, do they? But we have to teach them to what? Share? You always got to teach them to share. Never have to teach them to be selfish. And we grow up and we're just bigger versions of those kids. Just bigger things, that's all. So maybe we need to just go to him because he is our rock, our deliverer, our salvation. And just say, Lord, I give it all to you. I just give it all to you. Just do with me what you will. Maybe we just need to surrender a little bit. Maybe we just need to surrender. If we could stand, have every head bowed, and just going to have an invitation here. I have an invitation. Is there anybody here today who would say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and I recognize my need of that. If you're like that, just lift your hand up. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to single you out. I just want to pray for you. For the rest of us, how many would just simply say, I just need to surrender to his will in a greater way. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you, an unworthy vessel, praying on behalf of unworthy vessels. But Lord, you are worthy of our prayers. And Lord, we want to surrender to you in a greater way. Lord, we want you to work in our lives in a greater way. We want you to be glorified in a greater way. And Father, show us the things that are keeping us from that. Open our eyes to the things that are getting between you and us. Help us, Lord, to set them in their proper place and focus on you. Come into your presence, Lord. For only you are worthy. Sing with us.
Alleluia, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Alleluia, holy, holy, are you, Lord God. Worthy is the Lamb, you are.
worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Alleluia.
Praise Him.
Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty reigns.
I think you're supposed to close us out.
Dear Heavenly Father, you are indeed worthy. And we're so unworthy. You care for us in any way, but you hear our prayers and you listen and you answer. Yes, no, or not yet. Please help us to hear your answers when we lift our praises. Pray for everyone here, Lord, that they have a powerful impact from this message and a safe trip home and a safe trip back here to gather with us and worship you and fellowship with each other. And again, may all the glory be yours, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Have a great week. God bless you.